Thank you, Susie, and I think we can all agree on that. Track 4, Ramsden Restored. It was love at first sight when Elizabeth and Keith Holbrook saw Ramsden Hall. They tell us about the highs and lows of their restoration journey.
Breathing new life into dilapidated buildings is no easy task, but one which Elizabeth and Keith Holbrook wholeheartedly embraced after spotting an auction advert during a weekend break in Overstrand. They're not the first to become seduced into taking on the role of custodians by our country's historic houses. Rejuvenating crumbling walls and faded facades can grow into a fascination which compels lifelong devotion and funds. It was love at first sight when Keith and I visited Ramsden Hall, says Elizabeth, about the 200-year-old Georgian edifice located west of Norwich. However, the acquisition and restoration have challenged the couple on many levels over the ensuing years. Were you looking for a property to renovate during your weekend break in Overstrand?
Well, not really. I mean, my love of Norfolk began during family holidays as a young child. My father was born and raised in South America, and he met my mother, who was English, during the Second World War, and they honeymooned on a farm in the Norfolk countryside. Although he was well-travelled, he believed there was nowhere quite so beautiful as Norfolk. And each year, when my friends holidayed in the more exotic climes, like Devon and Cornwall, we would come to Norfolk. And so the love affair began.
You and your husband, Keith, have designed and built many country homes. Tell me more.
Well, having spent more than 3 decades both designing and building houses in Hertfordshire, we were contemplating a new lifestyle venture in Norfolk, and we had the knowledge and the skills to renovate. And that's where Ramsden came in. During a much-needed weekend break, an advert jumped off the page of a local newspaper. There was to be an open day for the hall, followed by an auction 2 weeks later. Now, I'm not exaggerating, but it really was love at first sight. Ramsden was glorious, even in the sad state we viewed her in. It was like the house was broken and was asking us to save her. Broken windows, leaking roof, knee-high water in the cellar, and the wilderness that was overgrown, woods and gardens, just, well, it didn't put us off. We were determined to take her on. And when my 17-year-old daughter saw the ruin, I thought she would say we were barking mad. But she just smiled and said, "I feel this is what you have been working towards your entire life." Well, that was just the confirmation we needed.
But things didn't go to plan.
No, it was heartbreaking. We lost at auction. Keith didn't speak for 2 whole days. He was so disappointed. However, I'm a believer in fate and thought, if it's meant to be. And 6 months later, she came back to us. The original buyer had become overwhelmed by the enormity of the restoration, and the property was put up for sale. The agent remembered us and made contact, saying he knew we were the right people for the property. And so in 2018, we undertook the ambitious plan of sympathetically restoring and conserving our beautiful building to its former glory.
I'm guessing there were many highs and lows during the restoration journey.
Oh, I could write a book about the highs and lows of our restoration journey, which has been incredibly difficult due to the pandemic, a devastating fire in the barn where we lost many of our treasured possessions, and subsequently financial difficulties. I mean, there were many times when we weren't sure we would be able to complete the project, but giving up was not an option. Fast forward 5 years, and we now have a beautiful home, which we share with our daughter, Beth, 3 cats, 2 pygmy goats, and 3 adorable Aylesbury ducks. Although our duck numbers are now growing, as around 20 more have joined them on the lake. And as much as I love the goats, well, they manage to slow the progress of the works, as often they'd escape into the hall or stable barn and make their way to the highest vantage point where the trades were at work. Well, this would result in Downing tools to play with the very mischievous Willow and Ringo. We do allow the goats to roam the grounds, but only when the roses aren't in full bloom, as roses are their favourite food. And they're headstrong and would munch through the whole garden display in an afternoon if we let them. So Keith and I take them on evening walks through our woodland during the rose season.
Tell me about opening the hall to visitors.
Well, in 2021, we decided to open our doors to bed and breakfast guests. It's been an absolute delight to see so many people who love spending time here as much as we do. And since then, we've hosted weddings as well as celebrations of life, networking events for local businesses, sewing, yoga, creative retreats and, of course, our signature afternoon teas.
There are so many wonderful fabrics throughout the hall. And I understand you handmade many of the soft furnishings?
Yes, yes, the curtains, the cushion covers and reupholstered pieces. I remember desperately wanting a sewing machine when I was young, which caused a debate between my parents. Dad was concerned for my safety and thought I was far too young, but thanks to Mum, I received my best Christmas present ever when I was 7 years old. I've always had a passion for fabrics, and particularly colourful prints. And back in the day, I would buy designer remnants from Soho and London markets, and then rush home on a Friday after work and make a dress to wear at the disco that evening. Oh, the power of youth. I loved making clothes and crafts for friends for their birthdays and Christmas present. I mean, it's so rewarding to make something by hand and very therapeutic too. It's good for the soul. Our recent sewing retreat tutor was trained by the British fashion designer Jean Muir, who is renowned for her timeless designs and high standards of craftsmanship.
I spied jams and cordials in the entrance hall. Are they homemade?
Oh, they are. Our housekeeper and events manager, Wendy, and I make jam, marmalade and cordials from local produce right here in the main kitchen. They're then served to our guests at breakfast and during our afternoon teas. And our wedding guests also enjoy them after their special day. And when the winter arrives, we serve guests our delicious winter warmer homemade slow gin in the cosy retreat of the drawing room whilst they're relaxing in front of a roaring fire.
Tell me more about Wendy.
Well, Wendy lives 10 minutes away and is just as much in love with the hall as we are. She helps run our events, looks after our lovely bed and breakfast guests, and is a great cook too. Do you know, everyone needs a Wendy. And there's nothing special about Keith or me. Elizabeth smiles as I leave the homely surrounds of Remston Hall. We're just two people following our dreams. However, Remston Hall is a very special place indeed. And there is such an uplifting feeling the moment you walk through her doors. And if she could talk, I know she'd say thank you.
Remiston Hall was once home to British flying legend and James Bond stuntman, Wing Commander Ken Wallace, who resided at the hall for more than six decades. Gaining his private pilot's license in 1937, despite having poor eyesight, he wasn't tested. Wallace's first solo flight was made in a de Havilland Gypsy Moth. During the Second World War, Wallace served in the RAF. After leaving in 1964, autogyros became his passion. Over the following four decades, Wallace set 34 world records, including the 3-kilometre autogyro speed record of 207.7 kph. Wing Commander Wallace kept and flew his collection of autogyros at Remiston. They included Little Nelly, an autogyro he designed himself and flew in the James Bond film You Only Live Twice, Sean Connery's stunt double. Wallace continued to fly above the grounds of Remiston until the year before he died, aged 97.